If you choose to give the lesson a topic, title, or a subject title, you may title it The Divine Priorities, Know Them. The divine, that is heaven's priority. When we talk about priority, we are dealing with those things that are important, especially so for God. And one of the interesting things about this morning's lesson, we will be confronting many truths of God. But what we will see is where the Almighty God encourages people to make a distinction between that which is important or highly important as against that which is of lesser importance. And you would say, but Brother Mitchell, doesn't God know that that will confuse man? No, it's not supposed to. Not that we don't get confused, but the Almighty God has ways to help us sift to know which one is of higher importance. Much of our religious or spiritual effort, a lot of it will be in vain due to ignorance of Jesus Christ and ignorance of his will. I need to repeat that. Lot of the religious effort we put out, it will not get for us what we thought we would get from those efforts. And it is not because the Almighty God set out to misguide us or to deceive us. It is because of our ignorance in respect to Christ's priorities and our ignorance of what his will really is. Willful ignorance will be the cause for millions of religious men and women end up not being saved on the day of judgment. Willful ignorance. Let Peter touch on that briefly in the book of 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 3. And verse 5, willful ignorance.
For this they willingly are ignorant of.
Start again. You're at the right passage. Remember what I've said is that willful ignorance. Do I need to cut that down further? A man or a woman can be ignorant of something because, one, the person has not put out any effort to be enlightened. Two, the person has not put out enough effort that the subject called for. So that person is ignorant, and that ignorance is willful. It is the person's own, should I say, default, why he or she is in ignorance. So start 2 Peter again.
For this they willingly are ignorant of.
Willingly are ignorant. That is, their ignorance is willful. Wait. They did not see the need to put out all that time and effort to understand the thing better. This they willingly are ignorant of.
That by the word of God.
That by the word of God.
The heavens were of old.
The heavens were of old.
And the earth standing out of the water. And in the water. Whereby the world that then was.
The world that then was.
Being overflowed with water.
Being overflowed with water.
Perished.
Perished.
But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word.
Now what he's driving at is that men and women don't permit their common sense to take their reasoning a little further. Those who doubt that Jesus Christ is coming back, those who mock at the fact that there will be a day of reckoning, the inspired writer Peter is asking them to just do a little thinking. That the world that then was, that we have all heard about, history testify, archaeologists testify, that the stratification of the soil tell the archaeologists that something terrible have gone has been done to this place. Peter is saying that the fact of the past world being destroyed, we must take lesson from that and realize that this world is marked for destruction. And he's saying, don't doubt it. What he said there, brother?
But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word.
By the same word of God.
Are kept in store.
It's kept in store.
Reserved unto
it
fire.
It is reserved unto fire.
Against the day of judgment.
Against the day of judgment and perdition
of ungodly men.
So here, brothers and sisters, we are talking about, we are still on the point of ignorance. Because the people in the passage just read, who mock the concept of the world that we now live in will one day be destroyed, Peter said they are ignorant by choice. But let us look at some passages where God speaks of some of man's basic elementary problem. May we start in the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, chapter 4, verse 6. Let us hear it.
My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee.
May I, brothers and sisters, if you didn't know this as a child of God, and if you're here as a visitor, and if you didn't know this, the Almighty God expects no less effort in any of us. Effort in searching to know his truth better than the effort we put out to get a certificate in any area of undertaking that you have undertaken. In other words, the same effort you and I would put out to get a diploma, a degree, an advanced degree, a profession, the Almighty God expects no less effort to have a better understanding of His truth. Be mindful of that. The passage of Hosea, listen again. My people
are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
You see, they are destroyed for lack of knowing. They don't know. And God is saying that is what leading them to destruction. Read.
Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God.
Wait. You get the point here? The Almighty God start here with the leaders, the priests. And notice what God said about the priest. Because what God said tells us God's expectation. Mm-hmm. Let me hear that part again.
I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God.
Uh-huh.
I will also forget thy children.
In the same way they were too busy probably with secular things, in the same way they did not think it deserved the effort to spend more time knowing and getting a better understanding of the law, and that made them ignorant. They were not in a proper position to guide God's people, because if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into the ditch. God says, I will reject you. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. We leave from the Old Testament to New Testament. Remember where I'm coming from, that so many of God's people, so many men and women will be lost because of willful ignorance. They don't believe things religious, things spiritual. They don't believe that the teachings of the gospel of Christ deserve genuine effort on their part. They believe, you know, when they have a little spare time, and that is when. No, brothers and sisters, God expects better of us. And we will pay the penalty for neglect in ways that are not good. Let us turn to the passage of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 18.
Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts.
Wait, you see the many phrase and word in this one verse that is hitting out at ignorance? Listen to the passage again.
Having the understanding darkened.
Their understanding is darkened. Well, you think the writer would stop there with it, but read on.
Being alienated from the life of
they
God.
They are alienated. That is, they are separated. They are far from God. And the life of Jesus Christ in them, they are cut off from that. But notice the reason. Being alienated from the life of God
through the ignorance that is in them.
You notice what caused the alienation? Ignorance. We go through life and we kill ourselves about so many secular things. But we hardly ever have time for the spiritual things. And that is the most important things. And here God's word is telling us that ignorance of God and his will separate us. The word alienated means you are apart. Being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. The verse finish.
End of.
Let us step to another one. Let us look at Matthew 22, 29. Matthew 22, 29.
Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God.
Here again is ignorance in two areas. These religious Jews to whom Jesus Christ was speaking, Christ says, you err. You have made a mistake, and mistake, in fact, it's double mistake. One, you do not understand what?
The scriptures.
The scripture.
Nor the power of
God. And you do not even understand the power of God. Wait. Do you know that's what gives sometimes a lot of problem to Christians when we face the worst in life? And the worst comes. The worst comes. For the past few weeks, I've been planning to revisit a lesson shared many years ago. When the worst come our way. And a lot of times we cannot sit down and list the things that are possible to happen, in our lives. Because when you spend 1 week sitting down and writing down all the things that you think are likely, after you finish writing, the very next thing that happened to you is the thing you didn't jot down. That's right. That's the way life is. It brings many things that we don't calculate or bring into the calculation. But as I've said, we are here looking on the fact that when we acquaint ourselves with who Jesus Christ is and what his will is, we are in a much better position to deal with all the challenges that may come in life. We have just read Matthew chapter 22, verse 29. Let us hear a passage that is well known to us, Romans chapter 10, verse 1 to verse 3. Let us hear it.
Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge.
But brothers and sisters, may I pause here? Zeal. Zeal and knowledge. Zeal is no substitute for knowledge. Explain, Brother Mitchell. You might be in worship for the 7 days for the week. Let's say the church have service 5 out of the 7 days every week, and you're one of those brothers or sister who is here. That is good. You visit the sick, you help the poor, the needy. But that zeal does not replace the knowledge that God wants you to have. You need the zeal, but you need the knowledge. May I? It is the knowledge that directs the zeal. That's right. Without the know-how, that deal will take you all over the place and it produced nothing. For I bear them record that they have a zeal
of God, but not according to knowledge.
But not according to knowledge.
For they being ignorant of God's righteousness.
Wait. Ladies and gentlemen, the Almighty God have a way of making men and women righteous, is the word it used? Eh?
For they being ignorant of God's righteousness.
That, may I? I always usually like to point, when it talks about God's righteousness in the passage, it's not referring to the fact that God is righteous. The inspired writer take that for granted. And take for granted that those to whom he wrote, they knew that God is righteous. What is under consideration here is God's way of making man righteous. How God going to make us righteous is what is under consideration. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and are we all there?
And going.
Wait, take time with my brother. They being ignorant of God's righteousness, the Jew thought that God would be making men and women righteous through the law. That's not God's way. No man or woman has ever been righteous through the law. And yet that's the path that the Jews were pursuing. And that's what Paul had in mind there in Romans chapter 10. For they, the Jews, being ignorant of God's righteousness. Wait. Men and women today think they can be righteous in man-made churches. You can't. The Almighty God, before the world was created, decided that he's going to save all men and women in one institution built by Jesus Christ. The Almighty God not going to change and accept 2 or 3 or 4 or 1,000. No. God's way of making man righteous, in the same way, Paul is telling the Jews, you can't be saved through the law. He's telling men and women today, you can't be saved through denominationalism. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness,
have not
submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. That's ignorance. The passage is hitting at man going his own way and rejecting God's way. Look at another passage. All the passage that we have looked at so far, in one form or the other, lack of knowledge, ignorance, darkness of the mind is under consideration, emphasizing that we need to have a better understanding of the will of God. That's what going to protect your soul, and that's what's going to protect the church. When its members are more informed in reference to what the will of the Lord is. Look at the passage of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 17. Let us hear it.
Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of God is.
What it says, brother?
Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is.
Do you see what I see? I wonder if you see what I see. Notice, brethren, be not unwise,
but understanding what the will of the Lord is.
Brother McFarlane, what I gather from that passage, when a man or a woman doesn't understand what God's will is, that person is unwise. That's what the passage is saying. Any of us, when we go through life believing we are the wisest thing on God's earth, but we are ignorant of so many essential parts of God's will, then it is saying we are unwise, we are foolish. And if you want to take that passage home and study, the brothers just read from the book of Ephesians chapter 3, chapter 5, verse 17. Look now at another passage which is saying some of the same thing. Let us look at Colossians chapter 1. The passage just read is understanding what the will of the Lord is. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10.
For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God.
Here again, let us start that again from verse 9.
For this cause,
for this reason,
we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will.
You see, here is encouraging word about a Christian. And Paul writing says, from the day we heard about it, we have been praying. But notice what he prayed for, that he might be filled with the knowledge
of his will.
Of God's will. That he might be filled with the knowledge of God's will. We need that. But when we reach now further down, let us hear verse 10.
That ye might walk worthy of the Lord.
That we might walk worthy, that we might conduct ourselves as God's people. Read.
Unto all pleasing. Being fruitful in every good work.
Hear, that we must be productive in all the right ways of our Christianity. Being fruitful in what, brother?
In every good work.
In every good works. We should not be found wanting in all the good works that the church is given to do. We should usually have more takers than having to be begging, trying to find a brother or sister to fill a certain capacity. We should be fruitful. Throughout the entire Bible, there is a divine truth that is emphasized and should be known by God's people. This truth comes out plainly and dramatically in Saul. Sin and Samuel's rebuke. Let us look at 1 Samuel, well-known passage, chapter 15. Remember what I've just said, that throughout the entire Bible, if time permit, I could go to a few other passages in the beginning of the Bible. The principle that is being emphasized here, this truth that we are going to see dramatized in respect to Saul and Samuel. Chapter 15, verse 18 through 23 of the book of 1 Samuel.
And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore, then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord?
Most of you know the passage, but for those who are not acquainted with it, the Almighty God had sent Saul on a mission, King Saul of Israel. King Saul selectively chose what part of God's will he felt was important and what part was not so important. Brother Mitchell, that's terrible. But you see, we do that too. So it is now the Almighty God sends Samuel the prophet to not only rebuke Saul, but to let Saul know that he's rejected by God. Read on, brother. You stop at, read verse.
Verse 19.
That's right.
Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord.
May I like some of the word chosen by the inspired, fly upon the spoil. Read on.
And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord.
Wait, what is important that we should learn from here too, is that a lot of time we are plainly going against God's will and we don't even know it. That's right. I mean us. There are Christians who sometimes their very attitude is so anti-God, anti-Christianity, and they don't realize it. Because they do not have a sharp machete to chop off people's head, they don't think that they are sinning. Here Samuel is telling the man, you have not obeyed God. And he listened to the prophet, and he's still insisting, I have obeyed the commandment of the Lord. In many cases, we are just like that. We should learn. But let us examine this. Saul had sinned grievously and terribly, but was completely unconscious of his sin. Verse 10 and 11. Quick, brother.
Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king.
God said it repented me. God's repentance is not like man's repentance. Mm-hmm. I don't have time to go into that now, but you know, it's a subject which has been dealt with here many times. So when it says it repented me, it's God. Samuel was just repeating what God says. God says it repented me. You know, I regret having appointed Saul as king.
For he is turned back from following me. And hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night.
You get that? Samuel was so disappointed over Saul's performance that when God's word came to him, the prophet cried all night because he remembered the circumstances and the situation under which King Saul was chosen as king. What verse are you? 11?
The end of verse 11.
Step down to verse 28.
And Samuel said unto him, The Lord hath repent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day.
Start that again.
And Samuel said unto him, The Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day.
Notice the wording now.
And hath given it to a neighbor of thine.
I like how general God was here. God has rented the kingdom from you and give it to a neighbor of yours. That neighbor was David. Oh God, oh great thou art. I give it to a neighbor of yours, just like that. Brothers and sisters, Saul had sinned grievously and terribly, but was entirely unconscious of having done anything wrong. Look at verse 13.
And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord.
Even before Samuel said anything, once the king saw Samuel, God's prophet, he was commenting on having carried out God's commandment when it wasn't so. But Saul truly felt that he could have selectively pick out from God's will what he wanted and throw the rest one side and still claim that he obeyed God. Men and women today, the Bible is plain on subject like baptism, repentance. The Bible is plain on religious false doctrine. There's hardly a book in the entire 27 book of the New Testament that does not testify against religious falsehood. And yet men will embrace falsehood and tell you, talk like them and God slept last night. Men and women will reject baptism and still tell you how sure they are that they are saved. Wait. There are people in the church who don't, men and women who have been in the church for years, and they don't even take time off to understand some basic principle about Christianity. Truly. We have had a lot of issues with floating members. Are we all there? What is that, Brother Mitchell? Me know the members can float. Their members, their men and women don't understand that in the Bible is that a child of God find a local congregation that you will settle down and work with. It's up to you. God didn't tell you it has to be the one close by you are. No, but you cannot just tell yourself you're a member at Patrick City, you're a member at Independence City. No. It doesn't work like that in the Bible. You must be responsible at and to a local congregation. You notice how the Bible deals with the seven churches of Asia? It lists them one by one. It didn't bungle them up and say, all of you are Church of Christ. They were all congregation of the Church of Christ. But they were dealt with one by one. Each congregation. That's the way Jesus Christ fixed it. Yet you have members who they don't want to be responsible to any one congregation. And you see, that's the very thing that God doesn't want. God wants each of us to be responsible to a particular congregation. When things happen that you cannot be working with and at that congregation anymore, then appropriate words are sent. And you have that in the Bible. But there are people who want to make their own rule. Are we all there? Well, here you have a Saul ready to tell the prophet, I have obeyed the commandments of the Lord. Look at verse 19 and 20.
Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and it's evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord.
He's still in this. You deal with some members and you open the Bible a dozen places and show them that they are totally off. And they will shut the Bible and tell you, I know I am right. Well, what they know, God doesn't know it. That's right. Samuel is insisting every time the prophet speaks, he's telling the prophet, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. But he didn't. Brothers and sisters, look here. Saul, in attempt to excuse his sin, only compounded his sin. One, God cannot be bribed. If you are confused here, I'm going to unconfuse you. God cannot be bribed. Look at verse 20.
And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way in which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites.
I've brought what?
The king of Amalek.
But God had told you to destroy everything. The man had contradicted himself. And even though the prophet is pointing out to him, what as we go through this lesson, we need to be examining ourselves. Do we approach God's word like that? You see, it's one thing to sin. It's another thing to sin and acknowledge that you sin, because that places you in the position where you will do something about it. When you sin and think what you have done is right, you will only continue in sin. He's insisting. In one spot there he said that the people brought back the best of the sheep to offer as a sacrifice to God. We cannot bribe God. And God does not accept man's substitute. If God accepts the substitute, it must be a substitute that God chose. Never one that man put before God. And this, when Saul felt that he and the people could take back the best of the cow and the sheep, and bribe God, it reminds me of when I was growing up. As many of you know, the river run through my district. As a young boy at 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, we used to go and catch crayfish, almost big like lobster. And my mother loved those. And quite a few times when my mother scraped at me. When I was growing up, my father was not a father who beat. He speak to you, and you better listen. So my again, him not beat you, him speak to you. And sometimes for one whole year, two whole year, we never got that chastisement from my father. My mother, oh my God. But you see, she had to deal with all of us. And because we depend on our feet, she will throw anything she has in her hand at us. Sweet mother she was. Truly, she, you know. But whenever she scraped at me, I would go and spend a few days with my grandmother, which is her mother. And then, when I ready to go back home, I would go to the river and catch crayfish. And once I go home with those crayfish, the beating that was laid up for me was put off. You see, Saul thought that bringing back nice cows and sheep, that would appease God. But God is not like man. There is nothing as important to the Almighty God as respecting his word. Very important that we get that. Nothing as important to the Almighty God. I need to come to a close in this lesson. It's a two-part lesson, but I don't think I'm coming back to the second part next week. One of the things we see in the Bible is in Samuel's rebuke to King Saul, God's priority is shown and emphasized. Let us look at verse 22 and 23.
And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices?"
May I? yes, God has the light. The answer that is called for here is no, because of the subject that is under consideration here. It's a comparative thing here. God was the one who commanded sacrifice. The entire book of Leviticus is about sacrifice. As God hath great delight in
burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord.
You see, it's a question, rhetorical question. Read on.
Behold, to obey is better than
because
sacrifice.
Because when it implied that God did not have great delight in sacrifice and all of that, it's because there is a comparative thing going on here. You see, and the comparison here is that don't ever put anything before obedience to God. That is what, read it again, brother, quick. The sermon need to finish about
behold.
Here. Behold. That's, back up.
And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in the obeying of the voice of the Lord?
Hath the Lord has great delight in?
In burnt offering
and sacrifice,
and sacrifices,
as
in obeying the voice of the Lord.
You see the two things? You see, what, and we need to get that. That in the New Testament Christianity, there are some things that are more important than others. If you spend your entire life trying to get a better understanding on God's priority, what are the important things in the New Testament as compared to other important things but not as important? That is a profitable knowledge for you. Because Saul here misunderstood the fact. He thought that God loves sacrifice so much that he could trample on what God said. And once he brought a sacrifice or many sacrifices, that would have appeased God. No. To obey
is better than sacrifice.
To hearken or to listen than the fat of rams.
Amen.
Look, because I've said, most likely, look at Matthew 23:23 again. Let us hear it, quick.
Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law.
I've done what?
Of the law.
I've omitted the weightier matter of the law. What Jesus Christ is pointing out here is that in the law that was given to the Jews, there were some things more important than others. The Almighty God did not give the Israelite the choice, nor does he give us. Where the less important thing, we say, well, I won't do that. But this more important thing, I'll do it. No. We are to do the important one and the lesser important one. Read, brother, quick.
Judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not leave the other undone.
You hear that? You see, Jesus Christ said that those that are least important, you do them too. But make sure you do not void the more important one. I'm hoping, God's willing, that we look more on looking at God's will in a comparative way. Take up some of the many passages in the New Testament which shows that one thing Christ prescribed might be more important than another thing. That's right. Again, let us strive to have a better understanding of Christ and his will. Let us spend more time knowing the will of God, because ignorant by choice will be the eternal destruction of many children of God. You don't want that to happen. Jesus Christ does not want that to happen. Don't ever treat any of God's will so slightly that you completely ignore it when God wants you to put emphasis on it. There's so much more to be said, but we are going to stop here until such time when we come back to this subject. If you're here today, if you're not a child of God, remember that Jesus Christ does not accept substitute. Are you here today and you're told that sprinkling is baptism? It never was and never will be for God. God command that for the removal of our sin, we must be baptized, be immersed, after repenting, after believing. You can do that today. Christian, spend more time getting acquainted with the will of Jesus Christ. It will profit you. And it will cement a better relationship between you and the Almighty God. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We're going to stand and sing a song to God's glory and honor. If you're in the audience,